Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8:30 hour, time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege to come together on Wednesday night with the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith. And God has given us this opportunity to come together and expound on the word of God. That's what God asks us to do, and we're doing it. And I know he's pleased. I thank all of you for taking time out of your schedule and come and join together, one with another. The Bible said where two or more are gathered in his name, he'll be in the midst. So I don't have to ask him to come and be with us, because the word says he dwells with his people. And I just thank you again so much that we still able to do what we do on Wednesday night, Monday, Wednesday after Wednesday, year after year. And it's all because of God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that we're still here. And as you all call in each week, it let me know that you haven't got tired yet. And for that, I'm grateful. Our lesson today is coming from the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. And the title of the lesson is Present Our Bodies as Living Sacrifices. You know, we have to be a light in a dark world. And we often say to ourselves that our goal is to let our light so shine that men may see the works and glorify the Father. So if you let your light so shine by doing the things of God. Yeah, I'm sorry, you guys, for the pause. The phone had cut off. But I was saying that present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we often say we want to let our light so shine. When you allow your light to shine, you are presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. And God get the glory. But we're going to come from Romans 12, 1 and 2. We live in a world, y'all, where the world is taking over. The world is not taking over because we have to buy into it. And so many people are buying into things that are not right. This world look like they do everything and anything they want to do. And they expect you to accept it. And they expect you to join in. Satan is on the prowl, y'all. And he's seeking whomever he may devour. But we have to stay separated and present ourselves as living sacrifice unto God. At this time, I'm going to play a song. And after that, we're going to go to God's throne of grace in prayer. When the phone cut off, everything got unraveled, so I'm trying to get it back. So be patient with me. All righty. The title of the song is Here I Am, and it's by Tamla Mann.
Here I am,
Songwriter say, yielding yourself to him as a living sacrifice. God is asking us to do that because we belong to him. And there should be evidence in our lives who we belong to by our action, our deeds, our conversation, our service. Can anyone tell who you belong to? At this time, we're going to go to God's throne of grace in prayer. And Sister Pam, I've opened your mic. You could come to us any way that God is leading you on tonight.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. Heavenly Father, we thank you this night for life. Thank you for affording us another opportunity to come together on this Wednesday night for our prayer and fellowship. Lord, we thank you for our Bible study and each and every one that calls in every Wednesday night. Lord, we humbly ask that you continue to bless our Bible study and that you continue it to grow. We thank you gracefully for our teacher, our sister in Christ, our prayer warrior, Minister Diane Adams. Father God, I pray that you keep on using her, Lord, in the ways that you and only you can. Lord, as we close our eyes on tonight to rest, we ask for your protection and love, that you keep us safe from all danger, evil, seen and unseen. Grant us, O Lord, a peace of mind as we relax and release all our worries and anxiety unto you. And it's in Jesus' sweet name I pray this prayer. I said amen and thank you, God.
Thank you, Sister Pam. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Just keep holding on, my sister. God God
Amen.
Is pleased with your service.
He's pleased with your service. And for the background tonight, since we were talking about a living sacrifice of our body being a living sacrifice, I decided to do the background on the Old Testament sacrifices. So I'm going to give you some information by that so that you could tie it together and truly understand what was and what is through Jesus Christ. You see, we are told that we are saved by the sacrifice made on our behalf by Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, if Jesus did not come into the New Testament, then how the people of the Old Testament be saved? I used to ask myself that all the time when I got a little knowledge, a zeal, not according to full knowledge. And I know if Jesus Christ was our Savior and we had to accept and confess unto him to be saved, and Jesus wasn't in the Old Testament, what about the Old Testament people? Well, the Bible explains all of that. You see, in the Old Testament, God required animal sacrifices to provide a temporary covering. Now, you got to remember the word temporary, and you have to remember the word permanent when we're talking about sacrifice. It offered a temporary covering of sins, and it was a foreshadow of the perfect and complete sacrifice of Jesus Christ. See, God used things in the old to bring us to the new. You see, animal sacrifice is an important theme found throughout the scriptures because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, animals were killed by God to provide clothing for them. You could find that in Genesis 3 and 21. And the scripture says, the Lord made for Adam and Eve, his wife, garment of skins and clothed them. And 21, and the Lord made for Adam and his wife garments and he clothed them. You see, before they sinned, it was a dispensation of innocence. You know, being naked wasn't no big deal. It wasn't no sin, and it was just beautiful. But after they sinned, they received knowledge, and they knew they were naked, and they hid. Y'all know the story. But God took and got an animal, and he killed the animals. Come on now. And he shed the blood of the animals, and he took the skins, and he covered Adam and Eve. You see, the Old Testament sacrifices was a covering. It didn't take away the sins. God accepted that until Jesus would come and die for us. The Old Testament sacrifice couldn't save them, but God accepted them. You see, way back then, Noah, when Noah, excuse, landed after the flood, Noah sacrificed his animals to God. Noah, they say in Genesis 8 and 20, and Noah built an ark unto the God and took of every clean beast and every fowl and offered a burnt offering on the altar. Watch this. When Noah went on the ark, he had to take animals too, you know, a male and a female, and God also had him, hallelujah, to take animals that was clean and unclean. Come on now, God knew his master plan. He knew Noah was going to have to sacrifice, and he knew that the sacrifices that he presented had to be clean animals without spots and blemishes. God prepare everything and all the provisions necessary for his glory. Glory, hallelujah. You see, God commanded the nation of Israel to perform numerous sacrifices according to certain procedures described by God. And he said how the animal had to be, which I just discussed, that it had to be spotless.
and the person that was offering a sacrifice had to identify with the animal, and the person that offered the animal had to inflict debt upon them. You see, when them people used to bring the animals to the temple for the priest, they had to kill the animal and present it. Because, you see, they had to do the work of killing the animal because the animal was going to pay, was really not going to pay, but cover their sins. That was the requirement. We see that the sacrifice made in the Old Testament could not take away the sins, but cover them. Y'all got to remember that. Because if the sacrifices of the Old Testament could take away the sins of the world, and you could take away and get rid of your sins by sacrificing, if those sacrifices could have done that, then why would Jesus have to die and become the ultimate sacrifice? You see, but when they did it in faith, the sacrifices provided temporary coverings of their sins. Glory be to God. You see, now, I need to ask you this. Did forgiveness or salvation take place in the Old Testament through sacrifice or human efforts? Just like not in the New, it didn't take care of it in the Old. In the New Testament, Jesus' sacrifice take away our sins, but it's still not human efforts. But I want to let you know, because that was something that I thought about a lot. How did the people in the Old Testament be saved since Jesus hadn't died and bled on the cross? Well, the answer is they had to receive salvation the same way it is received in the New Testament, by grace through faith. Remember, Abraham was faithful, and because of his faithfulness, God attributed to his righteousness, and God granted him grace, which saved him. Jesus wasn't there. He didn't call on the name of Jesus, but he was faithful, and God accounted it as righteousness. Whatever God asked him, he did. Not only Abraham, but many more in the Old Testament. So they had to get to salvation the same way we did, by faith. And you might ask the question, this was something else I was wondering. Why then do we no longer offer animal sacrifices today? Well, first of all, you know it couldn't do God intended purpose to take away the sins of the sinner. It could only cover it, and it was only temporary. You see, animal sacrifices ended because Jesus was the ultimate and perfect sacrifice. John the Baptist recognized this when he saw Jesus coming to be baptized and say, "Look, the Lamb of God." See, when you hear him talk about Jesus, the Lamb of God, why are they calling him a lamb? Because many times lambs were sacrificed for the sins of the people. So Jesus had the title Lamb of God because he became a sacrifice. Hallelujah. A Lamb of God who take away our sins. You may be asking yourself, why animals? What did they do wrong? This is the point. Since the animals did no wrong, they died in place of the one performing the sacrifice. Just like Jesus, y'all. Jesus also did no wrong, but willingly gave himself to die for the sins of mankind. See, the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, when we had taken on a sin nature from the first Adam, the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, when he came along and we accepted him as our Savior, God extended his righteousness towards us. Why he had to do that? Because if we live to be 200 years and do everything we think is right to do and say everything we think is right and give everything we think we give, we could not be credited with enough righteousness to be before a righteous God. So God said, if you accept my son, I'm extend my righteousness towards you. So God's righteousness extended to us, which made us righteous to be able to go before a righteous God. And because of Jesus and what he did, we can be forgiven. Glory, hallelujah. You see, animal sacrifices was commanded by God so that the individual could experience forgiveness of sin. The animal served as a substitute. That is, the animal died in place of the sinner, but only temporary, which is why the sacrifice needed to be sacrificed over and over. You know, you made sins, and when the Day of Atonement came and you could bring your sacrifices to the temple, you went last year, you got to go again because within that year you sinned again. So you had to keep repeating and bringing the four animals and let them be burned and let the aroma go up to God over and over and over again. And you had to bring it to the priest. The priest was wore out. You see, but now with Jesus Christ gave a more excellent way, and once we accept him as a one time and it complete the process of our salvation, we're completely redeemed. We have been completely justified. We have been set apart. Our salvation is guaranteed by the blood of Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. God said Old Testament sacrifice was just too much for his people. God never decided for us to have to struggle, work, and be bogged down in doing things for him. Not for him, but for ourselves, in a sense. So God had the system in the Old Testament, but it was just showing what it was, and then he was going to bring in the new, and he did that with his only begotten son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God for Jesus. You see, the only basis on which an animal sacrifice could provide forgiveness of sins is Christ. The only basis. Christ, who sacrifices himself for our sins, providing Jesus as the Lamb of God. So I'll put that title in there when they say animal. He sacrificed himself for our sins, provided the forgiveness that animal sacrifice could only ensure us a more perfect way with Jesus. The animal sacrifice in the Old Testament was a foreshadow of what's to come. Hallelujah. So that's how sacrifices was done. And you know, the Jews, and not all the Jews, who still practice Judaism, never accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior. So I would like to ask them, if that's the case, God gave us Jesus Christ, a new covenant, and the blood of Jesus took away the sins. So if they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, then why did they stop making a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, which wasn't complete, but God had allowed it? Come on, y'all. First of all, well, one of the reasons they didn't have the temple, but they were making sacrifices, building altars all over. Why they didn't keep the tradition up if they figured that was the right way? I asked that question. But anyway, animal sacrifices is no longer necessary for salvation. and for the forgiveness of your sins because what Jesus did. Glory, hallelujah. Again, I say thank God for Jesus. Our scripture in Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, we know the animal sacrifices of the old days, and you brought the animal, and we know that Jesus sacrificed himself. But this scripture that Paul has written for us tonight is telling us he beseeched, you know, he encouraged us. And he's encouraging us by the mercies of God, all that God has given, all of the provisions, all of the things. God has given us everything necessary to live a righteous life. That's what he means by the brethren, by the mercies of God. God has given us everything to live a holy life, to walk in the newness that was established for us in the covenant when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. So he's saying, God has given us everything to be able to become a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And then he throws this in for Lanya. He said, which is your reasonable service? It's nothing too hard. It's nothing impossible. He says, it's only your reasonable service. So I'll say, have you ever stopped to think about what God expects of his people or how to live, what we should do and what we shouldn't do? You should remember that all sacrifices that were brought to the altar were of the highest quality, first class, and had to be acceptable unto God. That's what he's telling us. We present our body as a living sacrifice. We ought to be a high-class Christian. We need to be first class, and we need to be acceptable unto God, and that's how we become a living sacrifice. You see, Jesus was sinless, which made him a perfect living sacrifice, and he continued to be holy and acceptable unto God even until death. We ought to take on the image of Christ and become a living sacrifice. Once we accept Jesus Christ, God begin working in us. You see, God does the work that you can be a sacrifice, but you got to commit and you got to join in and you got to put in the work. Because Philippians 2 says, it is God that worketh in us, God working in us. To will and to do his good pleasure. God is doing the work, y'all. You got to cooperate and submit. When we do things our way and don't follow God's plan, we will end up in trouble. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We know that God rejected Cain's sacrifice. And because that of his jealousy and hatred, Cain killed Abel. Now, the Bible does not say why God rejected Cain's sacrifice. And this is only me. Perhaps Cain's attitude was improper. See, some people give God some things, but how you give it to him? The Bible says that's like some people who give money and grumble and talk about it and do it grudgingly. Jesus said, give what you give. He didn't say no amount. He didn't even say 10%. But whatever you're going to give it willingly and cheerfully because God loves a cheerful giver. So it could have been his attitude was improper or perhaps his offering was not up to God's standard. You know, even with the Old Testament sacrifice, spotless, blemished, you know, those type of things was the type of sacrifice was to be offered to God. You know, it might have been not his first fruit or his best fruit because, you know, he was a farmer, so he brought fruit and vegetables. He might have didn't bring his best or his sacrifice. It could be that his sacrifice didn't shed blood, and I don't think that's the case, because I knew some people in the Old Testament used to bring the produce that they brought, because you got to remember a part of the sacrifice that was brought from the people to the priest. The priests didn't have jobs, and they didn't work, and they had to, God allowed them to take some of the sacrifices that came in to feed their families. So, you know, I don't think it was because it was, you know, vegetables, fruit, but I don't know. You see, Abel brought his firstborn with that portion because he was glad to give back to God what God had given to him. He gave it cheerfully. God evaluates both our motives, the attitude in which it is given, and the quality of what we offer. We could stop there and let that be the lesson for tonight and tomorrow and the things to come. What the scripture is saying at that point, whatever you do, do it with your whole heart. Don't set out to halfway do it. Don't say, I'm going to come, but I'm not going to do, you know, all these attitudes that you bring in with your service. God look at your motive, and some people doing it for the wrong reason. The attitude in which you give it and the quality of what you offer. Do you bring your best, y'all? Do you bring your A game? Do you try to do all you could do? Come on, y'all. Do you stay in the situation until everything is taken care of? How do you present yourself? God looks at the heart. Don't ever forget that. Oh, I did it, but I didn't want to do it. Well, you shouldn't have did it. Oh, I did it, but I hope they don't ask me nothing else. Why do they always ask me to do something? Because the word of God said, to whom much is given, much is required. Gave you more wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and truth. God gave you his word that you're studying day after day after day. God said, you have much, so you have much you can give. I would do this, but why she got two sisters. Why is she asking me? And we got to remember, everybody with a need may have a husband and may have children, grown children. But if they don't want to do nothing for the person and the person still have a need, why you even? Because nobody is forced to do anything for somebody. I don't care what the relationship is. People have children that don't even come and see them. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some people may be married and either one of the spouse don't help the other spouse. We see all of our old people barely being taken care of. It's no secret. But to do what you need to do, it takes to be a living sacrifice. Go the extra mile and see a problem and won't be a part of the solution. And doing it all in love is what God is asking us for. You see, when we give ourselves as a living sacrifice, we should have joyous hearts because of what we have to give. We should not worry about how much we are giving up for all the things that God, all things belong to God in the first place, even your breath, your strength, your time, your whatever. Instead, we should joyfully give God our best, the best of our time, money, possessions, and talents. You see, an acceptable sacrifice was holy to God then, and it is holy to him now. If we say we are his, there should be evidence in the way that we live, love, serve. Hallelujah. You see, the Holy Ghost is working on you, helping you to develop in all the areas of your life. We live in a world, but we shouldn't act like the world or be of the world. We have to become disciplined in the ways we live. Having discipline is hard, but necessary to produce change. If nothing changed, then everything stays the same. God has taken us out of darkness into the marvelous light, so when we study the word of God, we should become doers and not just hearers. It is true that no person is perfect. God is not asking you that. God is not asking you to perform any service. He haven't given you the provisions to perform it. He's not asking you to do any task that requires a talent he haven't given you. You see, that's why God said we are one body in Christ, many members, and everyone got everything. Everyone have something for the kingdom building if everybody play their part. God is not going to ask you to do what I do, and he's not going to ask me to do what you do. But he has designed for me to do, and that's the only thing he's looking for a return on investment for. God has taken us out of darkness. It is true that no person is perfect, as I said earlier, or could become perfect. The Bible says we filthy dish rags. We are filthy rags, not dish rags, but we are filthy rags. All fall short of the glory of God. We know this is true, but God is working on us, and we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that God has designed for him to do in all of our lives. You see, it's also true that Christians ought to live an obedient life, not conforming ourselves with the former lust as you did in your ignorance. He that called you is holy. You also should be holy in all of your conduct. And if we look at Romans 12 and 2, it said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. And the only way you could be transformed is to transform by the renewing of your mind. So as a man thinketh, so is he. Our mind is the only place where Satan can cause havoc, placing thoughts in our mind. Our mind is always talking us into doing something or talking us out of doing something. The thoughts that come in our mind, many are planted by the prince of the air. You know, it's not the thought that is so bad in and of itself. It's bad, but just in and of itself, because it has no power. It's only have the power that we give to it. Come on, y'all. It's not the thought that comes in our mind. It's what we do with the thought once we receive it. Do you believe it tonight? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, once we accept Jesus, God had a good and perfect plan for you. All of us are made unique. All of us are one of a kind, and God knows that. You see, Christians are called to not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, with its behaviors and customs that are usually selfish and often corrupting. Do you consider worldly behavior off limits? I'm not going to ask anyone to hold their hand up. I'm not going to ask you to press the button. It's just a question. You can answer it. Do you consider worldly behavior off limits? When you see the word conform, I want you to know that it means to be fashioned as something or someone else. Also to accept and agree with it as good. You know, we are ever learning and ever changing in this world, and we conform. You know, many times in the past, we didn't want to deal with computers, and we didn't want cell phones, and now we can't live. We conformed because we accepted it as good at some point. So when they say conform to something, that's what happens. So just like we conform, everything that we conform to may not be good. You see, the worldview should never become our God for living as a child of God. Just look around. Everything goes. The Holy Bible, our daily instruction for our daily living, is what we need to be our moral compass. We got to let the word of God lead the way. There's a scripture in Psalms 119, I think it's verse 105, that said, Lord, allow your word to be a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway. You know, so I'm told you about the, excuse, the sacrifices in the Old Testament. This New Testament writing by Paul say we should be a living sacrifice. So you might ask the question, what does a living sacrifice look like in a practical sense? Well, we are a living sacrifice for God by not being conformed to this world. The world is defined by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, the lust of the flesh includes anything that appeals to your flesh appetite, things as food, drinks, sex, and anything that could satisfy the physical needs. Food in itself ain't bad, but if you become a glutton, if you drink alcohol, then you drink too much, excessive. Is a word that could be injected in that. And as long as there's flesh on our body, it's going to crave fleshly things. You see, sin is where the sin dwells in the flesh. When we look at the lust of the eyes, mostly motivated by materialistic things, coveting whatever you see that you don't have, and envy those that have what you want. Doing anything to gain more materialistic things. And then when we see the pride of life is designed by the ambition for that which puffs us up and put us on the throne of our own lives. We become legends in our own mind is a good way I could say it. Y'all know they got people walking around like that. I'm self-made. I did all of this by myself. Nobody helped me. You see, transformation demands change. Therefore, transformation is not always a good thing unless it is done properly. Paul states that the transformation should take place by the renewing of your mind. Satan play all his tricks in the boardroom of your mind, and the only way Satan can work on us or through us is through our mind. Don't ever get it twisted, y'all. People always say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, but in rebuking him, we must understand that he's what he's trying to do for us, do to us, to learn his ways. If you pay attention, you will learn certain Satan tricks and tactics. He can't come up with nothing new, y'all. The Bible say we should think on things that are lovely, think on things that are good, think on things that are a good report so that our mind can be acceptable unto God. You see, if we read the word of God, we will know the will of God. So as a man thinking, so is he. You got to know it. How can you please him when you don't know what pleasing? You know, when you're in a relationship, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, fiance, a husband and wife, or just neighbors, or classmates, or teachers, any relationship, everybody always should make what they're hoping to receive from the relationship.
Because if you don't know, you probably wouldn't achieve it. And it would always be a breakdown in communication, because what things that are not communicated can most of the time not be achieved. And you got to remember, whatever you feed, that's what will grow. And I want you to know, the world applauds sin. Hollywood encourages us to envy sinners and be foolishly compare ourselves with them. Come on, y'all. Beyonce could get a black cat and set it on the top of her head. And I guarantee you within an hour, they might have 60,000 hits. People have black cats, got a bow in it, and a cat head. You know, people envy what they see. That's so sad. And that's why this generation is so weak, too. When we were coming up, we took pride in trying to be different. We didn't want to wear what everybody else wore, how they wore it. We didn't have to do what everybody else did. But now the children don't think twice. If they see it and somebody got it and somebody else got it, God dog it, they want it. You see, often the popularity of stars is due to their abilities to stir up dissatisfaction with our lives. They get on there and put the makeup and show you how you can be prettier, get rid of the wrinkles, this, do this. You know, the advertisement from all around, if you're not careful, it can make you dissatisfied with yourself. Advertisers prey on the natural tendency to love this world. They know what sells. They know what hype they could get people to make them buy. And most marketing campaigns in some ways address the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. Pay attention. That's the world standard. So I want you to know, as I close, God tells his children to set their priorities according to his eternal value system. And I'm going to give you a scripture. If you just remember that from tonight, and you began to do what it says, you truly will become a living sacrifice. God, you will be acceptable unto God. So I'm going to give you this one scripture. And it's Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you see, when we see this kingdom of God, it is talking about God's value and God's morals and God's master plan and God's written word and all of that. If we seek ye first the things of God, what God has told us, what he has revealed to us, what he gave us in his word, hallelujah, the kingdom of God. But if you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Now, of course, it's telling you what will be added. You will become a living sacrifice. You will be set apart. Your way, your crooked roads will be made straight, and the doors in your life that need to be closed will be closed. Come on, y'all. He add everything to us. He's already given us everything we need to live a righteous life. He give us all our provisions. He give us all of our daily needs. He gives us a portion of health and strength. He said all these things will be added unto you. And yes, there's a connection and an attachment for material things. First, we have to look for the things of God. And when I say you got to realize that material is attached to, because he's going to give you a home.
And you might have a fine home if you could afford to pay it with the job that he gave you to make the money that you made to get the finer home. Come on, y'all. All things will be added. The car that you drive, you might could get a more expensive car because of the job that he gave you, the education he steered you to get to be able to afford more things. Come on, y'all. And I say that with a job and be able to afford, not just getting stuck and can't afford it and buying over your means and following the Joneses and all of these type of things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, the righteousness of God, the morals of God, God's standards, not the world's standards, God's standards. If we seek that first and his righteousness, all things will be added unto you. Because you got to remember, seeking God and his morals is things that last. Because only what you do for Christ will last. Because everything else will pass away. Because it's all temporal. And I don't need to remind you that when the hearse go to the cemetery, the casket don't have be full with money. We know all of this. We know all of this. Only the things that you've done while you were living, while the blood is running warm through you in your veins. The Bible tells us that Jesus is going to come back with his reward in his hand. The Bible also tells us about the many crowns that God will give us. Jesus also said when he go to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. He said, because in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it wasn't so, I would tell you. Things will be added unto you. So you got to see where you set your sights. You got to see how you want to walk, how you want to talk, how you want to give, how you want to serve, how you want to love. And do it right. And become a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, which is only our reasonable service. That's our program for tonight. I hope that someone was blessed. I hope that someone was blessed. And at this time, if anyone would like to say anything, add anything to the program, or say anything, you can at this time, if anyone would like to say anything. We have a lot of callers on the line tonight. For those who may not know, if you would like to say something, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic and you could speak to us. Let us hear from you tonight. Caller, your number is 985-77471. Your mic is open.
Hi, Sister Diane. This is Diane. I just want to say the lesson was really good tonight. And yeah, I've been having some problems, so many problems. I realized I can't do it. So I'm letting God do it. And in the morning,
right,
I get up and pray. I pray for his direction for me to help somebody. And things are getting done slowly. It scares me, but I have to keep giving it back to God, saying he can handle this for me. This is where I'm supposed to be at for some reason.
Yes, and he can handle it too, believe me.
Right.
And he said, like what you say was important, because you say you go to sleep and you get up in the morning. The Bible tells us that tomorrow, when we wake up in the morning, it's full with brand new grace and mercies. How you like that?
It's
a new day to start over. And God is with us in a new day. That's beautiful, huh? Every day
it
comes with brand new grace and mercy. So you say you go to sleep, praise God, and you get up and you start over.
You never fail until you stop trying. You never fail till you stop trying and throw your hands up. You keep on pushing. You keep pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high call, which is Christ Jesus. That's all any one of us could do.
I'm going to keep holding on. It was hard for me to do it. Like, I'm used to doing everything myself, but it was so much, so big, I had to start trusting God to do everything. And I just wake up and ask him what I should do for him. And the big stuff is going to get done. It's going to get done some kind of way. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sister Diane McBride. You know I love you and your boys and your husband and your family.
I really do.
Thank you for calling in, and thank you for letting us hear from you.
Y'all be good. Thanks.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Well, if it's nothing else at this time, we could have our benediction. If anyone else would like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, Sister Diane, your mic is open. Okay, wait, I have something from a caller. Caller, your number is 504-908-12. Your mic is open.
Hi, good evening, Sister Diane. This is Deaconess Rosemary, but I'm glad that the lesson you did tonight, because it was confirmation for me. I don't know if you know, but my oldest son was in a hospital. He had an episode where his sugar went up really, really high, and he didn't remember nobody, you know, so he was in a hospital. Then he caught a seizure, but I got up every morning before I got out that bed. I prayed and asked God, if it's your will, God, bring him back like he was. If it's your will, not mine. But if it's not, let me be able to handle it. And I know one thing. When you pray and you talk to God, God's going to change. He's a miracle worker. He's awesome. My son, he's got his teeth back to where he's normally. He's back to himself again. His sugar's 125. He's still in the hospital. But he's going to be out tomorrow. But I'm just saying to say this. Yes, when you trust God and believe in God and get up every day for a new day asking God for something, it's going to happen if it's his will. And it was his will for my child to come back from where he was to where he is now. And I truly believe that every day is a new day and a new beginning for us to start all over again and forget everything behind us that pass and just go forward with the day he give us.
Ain't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? That we know if we have all these trials and tribulations on today, pray to God, go to sleep now. Don't stay up all night, because they say if God doesn't sleep, why you need to set up? Go to sleep and wake up with a spirit of expectancy, expecting that there's newness, new grace, new. It's like he fill your cup up every morning. People get up and get a cup of coffee. God fill your cup. And not only do he fill it each morning, he let it run over, because in Psalm 23, he said, my cup running over. Surely mercy and goodness shall follow me. See, God give us a new beginning every day. He tell us that yesterday is gone. He even showed us not to look back, like he allowed Lot's wife to turn to a pillar of salt. Keep going forward. And that's a beautiful thing. I thank you, Sister Rosemary, for your comments. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen.
Anyone else would like to say something about God and his goodness? God is good to all of us, y'all. Sometimes we just like to tell him. If someone would like to tell God or tell us how good God is, you can do it at this time. Press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic. If not, Sister Pam, your mic is open and you can let us out the way God is leading you. Sister Pam? Yeah, baby. Okay. Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen and good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. I don't know about you, but I had a good time in the Lord. Fellowshipping one with another in the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I had a good time. And I thank God for this. And I thank God for you, guys. Thanks to everybody. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back again Wednesday night at the 8:30 hour. Words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And I love y'all with the love of Christ. And I pray for y'all and your families. And I pray that God keep us together in unity on one accord. In the mighty name of Jesus. See you next week. Until then, I pray that God bless each and every one of you real good. Good night.